Well, thank you so much for having me back to speak for you again. The thing is, when I love coming here, but the thing is, when I come here, I know I have to do a good and a competent job and be here on time, because that's what your pastor does. Freddie is always serving us in our presbytery, the groups of pastors, and he organizes a luncheon every month that I make sure and go to for fellowship among the pastors. And the last one we went to, I got there 12:03, and there's some pastors standing up, and we're all looking around for Freddie, and we can't see him anywhere. And we say, this is strange, he's always early. And 12:03, we are starting to get worried that maybe he's had an accident, because Freddie is never late. And then someone said, look, there he is in the side room. And of course, we remembered in his email, he said, we will meet in the side room. So it's rare to have someone with a servant's heart and great competency. And he brings both of those things. And I personally am very grateful to him. And then I get to be the visiting pastor, which means I can preach on any text I want. I can look for the easiest text. I can look for the best text, the one I love and enjoy. And that's one of those texts is what I have chosen for you this morning. Would you stand as we read together the word of God from Joshua, the first 9 verses? And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' helper, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it night and day, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings us. Thank you for the instructions that it gives to us. Bless us now as we hear your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The very last verse of the book of Deuteronomy says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then to reinforce it, the very first verse of Joshua says, and Moses, my servant, is dead. You have to understand how momentous this is. Moses is the equivalent of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, all rolled up together. And now he is dead. And pity the man who's got to follow him. Or how are we even going to make it into the promised land? Because our great leader, Moses, is dead. You and I may not be in a situation like that. But we are always in transitions in our lives. You may be graduating from high school. You may be going to college. You may be looking for your first job. You may be getting married. You may be raising kids. You may be wondering if you should change your job. You may be transferred. You may be moving into retirement, or you may be moving into very elderly age. And through all of these transitions, we're wondering, how are we going to make it? What's going to happen to us? And so the question is, given that our country, our culture, our lives, our church, given that we are always moving through transitions like that, how can transitions be turned into transformation? How can transitions be turned into transformation? And so the first thing that our text tells us is about a person who indeed transitions, and not just transitions, but a person who lives into transformation. Joshua's name, first of all, by the way, was not Joshua. You go back into Numbers, you hear that his name was Hoshea, H-O-S-H-E-A. And that little word is very significant. You see, in the ancient world, when you had a kid, you didn't just say, okay, I'm going to name him Johnny because I like the name Johnny. You named that child according to what your hopes were for them, or their character and what you wished it to be. So if God had been gracious in giving you a child, or if you were praying that God would be gracious to this child, you may name him John, because John means God is gracious. Joshua's name was Hoshea, and Hoshea means helper. And if you go back and you read the Old Testament, you will see that if everything that Moses was going through, day in, day out, night after night, the man who was there helping him, the man who was there strengthening him, the man who was assisting him, that was the man who would later be called Joshua, Hoshea. You remember Jesus said that if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And you remember Paul's magnificent explanation that when we get a hold of the gospel, when we realize that God saves us, when we realize that God delivers us out of the Egypt of our sins, it transforms who we are as people. Here's what he said. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, a helper in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If you and I think it's all about me, we don't transition well. Because we're waiting for everybody to say, here, go ahead, do this, do that, we'll help you in any way you want. If we think life is about me, we will never transition well. But if we understand what Jesus did for us, that he laid down his life, that he was the greatest servant of all, and if in return we have a servant's heart, and the thing that we want to do more than anything else is to serve the Lord, walk with the Lord, and be a blessing to others, we will transition well. And we will not only transition well like Hoshea or Joshua, we will transition well in such a way as to be a transforming person. Now, the second thing about the person who transitions well into transformation, or about Joshua, if you will, is that, yes, God did, or Moses did indeed, change his name. If you go back to Numbers 13, and Moses called Hoshea, which means helper, the son of Nun, Joshua. Do you know what Joshua means? Joshua means God saves. Think about it. When Joshua has got to step into the shoes of Moses, this incredible leader who has done so much for Israel, and he's wondering, how am I going to step into those shoes? How am I going to transition? How are we going to cross the Jordan? How are we going to go into the promised land? The answer comes back to him, by the way, what is the name I gave you? God saves. You know, I had to learn this early as a young pastor. And it was a wonderful thing to learn, actually. I remember just being so exercised about marriages in the church. And I decided to preach a series on the Song of Songs, which is all about love and marriages. And I noticed that the people who turned up were the ones who had good marriages. And the people who were in trouble weren't there regularly at all. And I wondered, what can I do to help them? And the answer that came back to me, and which I had to learn, is, look, you can help, you can love, you can support, you can strengthen, but you can't save anybody, because that's God's job. And so when we transition, when we're going into new spaces and spheres in our lives, when we are overwhelmed, this is the thing that we have to understand. God is the one who saves, and I can rely on him. So, if transition is going to be turned into transformation, we have to have a servant's heart. And we have to know that it is God is the one who saves. Then something incredible happens. God just suddenly begins to give Joshua all kinds of promises. And you're going to feel them coming at you one after another. It's like rat-a-tat-tat-tat. It's promise after promise. And the first thing that he says to Joshua is, you will succeed. You hear me? You will succeed. In verse 6 he's told, be strong and very courageous because you will lead. Be strong and very courageous. Not so that you can lead, but be strong and very courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give to them. You see, here's the thing. God had made the promise. It's God who's going to do the doing. It's God who is the Savior. And it is God who will carry out His plan. And you and I, like Joshua, can succeed in what we're doing. We can transition in such a way as to be transforming. Because, you see, He has given us promises that say, you will succeed. You will lead because I promise. Not because you're that great, but because I promise you will succeed. And then here comes the next one, the realization that the plan is already in place in verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. When you and I are transitioning, we don't know what lies ahead. When we're moving into new territory, we don't know what's coming. But guess what? God not only knows what is coming, but God knows what He is doing. And it is all of God's planning, and the plan is already in place. I remember when my wife and I migrated from Jamaica and we came to the States. We ended up, first of all, in Massachusetts, and there was a huge snowstorm. It was Hurricane David, and we were sitting there thinking, where have we come to? And then we moved to New Jersey, and I was going to school, to graduate school, and I went way out into the countryside looking for somewhere cheap for us to live in, and we landed there, and it was really rural, and it was in a little phrase that we use in Jamaica, which is not entirely true, but it sort of explains it. It was what we call behind God's back. And we were saying that to each other. And then I found the job in that little town as the pastor, etc., etc. And as we now retire and look back over our lives, as we were transitioning from one place to another, from one circumstance to another, we did not know what lay ahead, but God did. And He's led us all of the way. And you may be assured of this, that you will succeed in your transitions because God's plan is already in place for your life. And more than that, you will prevail. Is it always easy? No. Because God has promised you success, will it be easy? No. Because there's territory to be taken in raising your kids and in working in your office, etc., in moving into elderly age and not having the strength that you used to have, will it be easy? No, but you will prevail. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I will with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You remember when God first called Moses? He was a stuttering guy who could hardly speak. And he told the Lord, there's no way I can do this job that you're calling me to. And yet, here is the promise. When he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God answers with the exact words he's giving to Joshua now. I will be with you. You will prevail in your life because you belong to the Lord. because you're a part of His purposes, because He's called you to Himself. You will be and you will prevail because He promises you, I will be with you. And therefore, you will prevail, not because you and I are great, but because indeed the Lord is with us. You say, yeah, but, you know, I'm not Joshua and I'm not Moses and I'm not been called to make some great transition and lead them, the country, to its next phase in life. Aren't you glad, by the way? But these promises are for you and for me. Let me read a well-known passage, but it's one of my favorites, and I'm sure it is for you, so that you may know these promises are for you. It's Paul. And we know that all things work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Why is it going to work out? Because we've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He called. And those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. You get it? We didn't get ourselves into this. God is the one who has called us. And because God has been the one who calls us, He will take us all the way to heaven and to glory. What shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's the you shall prevail. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? You hear that? Not because we're Joshua. How will He who called us, will He not also along with Christ graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is going to condemn us? Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised from to life, He's at the right hand of God, and He is praying for us. Get that? He's praying for us, this church, this morning. He's praying for us as individuals, right now, this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Shall persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but because life and time is always moving forward, you are in some sort of transition, maybe huge. I don't know what odds you're against this morning, but I do know that you will prevail. And you will prevail because God has loved us, God has called us, God has a plan for our lives, and as we are caught up in His purposes, no one will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So, there's a person who transitions into transformation. He's got a helper's heart, a servant's heart. And he also understands that it's God who's got to do the same, saving. And then there are all the promises of transformation, that you will succeed, you will be blessed, that the plan is already in place, that you will prevail, and that I will be with you. Now then, to close the sermon, what are we to do about this? What are we supposed to do now? And so it is that the Lord turns to the commands that we are to hear. Now, before I get to the commands, and I may be too sensitive here, and it's based on the way I grew up. I don't want to criticize the way I grew up. I had godly, Christ-centered parents, but it probably is the way that I, in my pride, heard things. I always heard things like, if you do A, B, C, D, E, and F, you will succeed. And then you know where that leads. If you do succeed, you're so proud and arrogant, nobody can stand to be around you. But more likely, if you don't succeed, you just become burdened and depressed. And so it's really important to hear the order of things. The promises come before the commands. Do you hear me? The promises come before the commands. It's not the commands that fulfill the promises. It's the promises that fulfill the commands. See how we're turning things upside down here? It's not if you do A, B, C, D, E, and F, I will give you blessings. No, it is I will give you blessing. Therefore, here's what I want you to do. A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Right? And look, faith and obedience are two sides of the coin. And obedience is really, really important. But the thing is that the grace to be obedient comes first. The grace, the promises, the blessings come first. And because we are blessed in Christ, therefore we can carry out the commands. And so here are the commands. I actually quite like them. The first one is be confident. Only be strong and very courageous. Look, if you're going to walk by faith, you know, you can stand there sort of nervously saying, Lord, I do love you. I hope everything will work out all right. Please help everything to all work out all right. I beg you to help everything to work out. Or you can say, Lord, I'm caught up in your purposes. You've promised to be with me. And therefore, I, by your grace, will be strong and I will be courageous because you are the one who saves. I get that clearly. Because you are the one who is with me. I understand you will never leave me nor forsake me. And also, I understand that everything that I need to transition into transformation, you have already given to me. Yes, Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Peter's saying that. The fisherman, you know, the one who used to cuss. He's the one who is saying, His divine promises have given me, Peter, everything that I need to become one of the founding fathers of the church. To establish Christianity in Rome and then from there beyond. He's already given me everything. Through these promises, He has given us His very great and precious promises. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world that is caused by evil desires. This might shock you at first, but it's true. We are not sinners trying to become saints. We are saints in Christ Jesus, becoming who we are to be in Christ. It's a huge difference, see? It's not that I'm trying to become something I'm not. It's that this is who I am in Christ, and therefore, by His grace, I will become who He wants me to be. And therefore, I can be strong, I can be courageous, and I can move ahead with a confidence that it is God who says that is befitting the sons of daughters of God. So the first thing is, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to be strong and courageous. And the second thing I want you to do now as you move into these transitions is to be detailed in following all of the instructions. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success where you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success where you go. I promised you success. I've given you all these promises. Because of that, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed on the Word of God. I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to love the Word of God. I want you to take the Word of God for what it is. That is the Word of God. I want you to be detailed, and I want you to be careful as you look at it, to understand it and to follow it. Because you see, it is in this detailed understanding and following of it that all of my promises come to fulfillment in your life, and you know God's blessing and you know God's success. And lastly, never give up. Okay? I don't care how long you've been at it, working with that indwelling sin in our lives that just won't let go of us. I don't care how long you've been at it, trying to raise your kids or make your marriage work or provide for your family. Never, ever give up. When changes face us, they can be overwhelming. But God knows that. And so He comes back to Joshua again. He said it I don't know how many times before. Now He comes back to it again in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous? Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God may go with you everywhere you go if you're nice boys and girls. No. The Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Now, when those promises sink into our hearts, there's nothing more that we want to do than to be detailed in our understanding of His Word and to follow Him in all of His instruction, because we understand He loves us in Christ. He's forgiven us. He's given us all things in Jesus Christ. And therefore now, being strong and courageous, we can go and we can leave this place and we can pursue God's purposes in our lives and in our world, because His promises never, ever fail. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your many precious promises. Thank You that we could never earn them or we'd all be dead and lost. But thank You that You won them for us all. And therefore, Lord, out of love and out of gratitude and out of an overwhelming sense of Your goodness, we take these promises to us now. We ask in this week that You will teach us to walk with the dignity and the courage and the strength of sons and daughters of the King. And we ask, Lord, that as we serve others, You would help us to be a transforming presence in the lives of our world, that others may see not what we are doing, but what You are doing in us and through us and in Jesus Christ, so that You may receive all the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Hymn number 32, I get to sing two of my...